Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, not only will you open the door to new understandings, but you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. This way, you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Tonight, it is my immense pleasure to welcome back Kat Edwards. She is a clairvoyant medium, a diploma life coach, civil funeral celebrant, spiritual teacher, mentor, public speaker, singer, and writer, and a mom of four. Kat was born in Scotland and moved with her family to Australia when she was 4 years old. As a young child, she became aware of having some spiritual knowledge and began to have her first spiritual experiences at the age of 5. When she was 15, Kat bought her first deck of tarot cards and started to read for her friends. By 24, she had begun to read professionally. Since then, she's gone on to read for thousands of people over the past 17 years. As a qualified life coach, Kat is able to mix her spiritual knowledge and abilities with her life coaching knowledge to give you a compassionate, informative, thought-provoking, and guided experience which can be very helpful to assist you in your life's direction. She specializes in helping in your life direction and can see the potential in you even when you can't. Her life's purpose is to honor life and encourage success. That's the life in you and the success that's yours for the taking. Kat is a guidance style reader. This means she facilitates messages of support, guidance, and wisdom from spirit to you. Predictions may form part of the reading process. However, they are not the sole focus. And to learn more about Kat or to book a reading with her or a spiritual coaching session, you can go to katedwardsclairvoyant.com. And Kat is spelled like the animal with a C, C-A-T, Edwards, E-D-W-A-R-D-S, clairvoyant, I'll spell that for you too, C-L-A-I-R-V-O-Y-A-N-T. Kat Edwards Clairvoyant.com. Let me get my cats and my clairvoyant straight. Let me welcome Kat. Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm great, thank you. And thanks for having me on again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Kat. I just wanted to let the listeners know tonight, or the callers know, that if you did not notice on the notice that was posted, Kat is just going to be doing 3 readings tonight, and then we're going to be talking about some of the common themes that come up during the readings. And I'm going to, rather than go to the pecking board, I'm going to ask Kat to pick a number. We're up to 16 callers, and I thought, in fairness to everybody that's called in before 7:30, and with there just being 3 readings tonight, that I wouldn't go strictly according to the numbers. It just doesn't give a lot of folks a shot who have called in before 7:30. So that's why I haven't talked to you folks. I didn't want to give you false hopes. Kat, are there universal themes to readings?
Excuse me. Readings tend to come up, but you get groups of people that tend to arrive. So, for example, whether it's on the radio or in person at an event, I will find that I'll have people who don't know each other and do not associate with each other, but they're all from the same profession, come to me for reading. I'll have people who have no association with each other who all have a very similar life problem coming along to see me. And I'll also at times have people who have no association with each other but have the same life path number in numerology come to see me. So, you know, birds of a feather flock together, and when the energy's right, they'll all come. And it doesn't matter what particular day it is to you or I, but when that vibration needs support, it will seek it. It was actually one of the reasons I started caring more about the way that my hands looked and getting my nails done, was because I was working at a psychic expo one time and I just kept getting beauty therapists. And I, at that time, I was a single mum, and really caring for my nails was the bottom of my list. And here I was getting beauty therapists, and they were not working together. They were not, I mean, some of them will have been, but the majority of them weren't, because it was a New Year's expo, and the Sunshine Coast here in Queensland at that time has a transient population and a massive amount of tourists, and most of the people that came through were tourists. So it's amazing. In the 2004 tsunami, not in it, but afterwards, like directly afterwards, I did a psychic expo at the Big Pineapple in Nambour on the Sunshine Coast, and every person that came to see me, bar a handful, and I was doing 19 readings a day, were people who were either directly involved in the cleanup effort of that tsunami, or were heading over to provide medical care, or were involved in the charity efforts here. In Australia, we ended up donating $1 billion to the effort as a federal donation, but a lot of people were on the ground, and all those people didn't know each other. They were mainly guys that were coming to see me that particular time. So it doesn't have to be women, and it just seems to be an energy. This energy is coming now. This energy is coming. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes, it does. It's very interesting. I should mention before we get started that Kat and I also co-host a show on Sunday nights. It's a different format. It's a topic discussion show, essentially a talk show, but we invite anybody who calls in to participate in the discussion so that we can have input from many different vantage points of people's collective wisdom. And this coming week, we're going to be talking about manners and respect. And that is Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So we would welcome any of you who've called in tonight to call into that show. Kat does not do readings on that show. It's just a topic discussion. And it tends to be spiritual in nature. And we also are open to receiving suggestions from listeners or callers as to topics they'd like to have discussed in future weeks. Now, we've got quite a few callers on the line. I was just trying to do something here because one of the people has dropped way down in the queue, so I want to make sure I assign the right number to that person. Just bear with me for 1 minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. All right. Kat, can you pick a number between 1 and 16?
3.
Number 3. Okay. I'm coming to you, area code 760. You're live. What is your first name, please?
Hi, this is Michael.
Michael, congratulations.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Thank you. I'm good. I had a feeling I was going to get picked.
There you go.
Hi, Michael. How can I help you?
Hi. Glad to be here. Thanks for taking my call. So I was just wondering if you had some advice. I'm a master's student majoring in geological research here in San Diego. And doing really well, a little bit older than the rest of the students because I'm a veteran. But so I'm doing really well, but I'm also having trouble seeing the road ahead. And I was just wondering if you had any suggestions.
Okay. I'm going to pull some cards while I'm focusing in on you. I get a good feeling about you, Michael. I get a good feeling about your work when you come out of your time. And you should have already started to meet two people in the industry. Are you encumbered with children and family, partner, that sort of thing?
They're grown. And no, actually, right now, sky's the limit.
Good, good, because I don't feel you will remain in the USA.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think your work will take you into, you're not a university lab kind of guy. You need to go out into the field. And the central card that I've pulled is the desire to move on, the Eight of Water. So there's meaningful growth for you. But you need to get out into the field. You need to be going. And whatever it is that you specialize, do you like volcanic activity? I feel very drawn to mountainous regions that are alive with internal activity, like, the earth's tummy's grumbling in those areas. You can't underestimate yourself, because the self-discipline and the willpower that you've achieved, it's only going to take you further. You have an option, as every master's student does, to go for a PhD. I feel a wavering over that, because I can see that you will want to really move in the field. So if you were to do it, it would be part-time and it might take you a few years. But you certainly achieve that, and you would most likely achieve it through your findings out there in the field. You wouldn't be doing it sitting inside a university's classroom. You need to get into the Galapagos, into Hawaii, Chile, New Zealand, parts of Africa. You need to be going where it's interesting. So I don't know. Where are you in the U.S.?
I'm here in San Diego, California.
San Diego. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, there's geological activity there too. But, you know, that Yellowstone's going to erupt at any point. That might be somewhere to go. But I feel that you need to get out in the field. You've got to travel. That's part of your journey. And you said that you were a veteran, you were in the Army or the Marines or something in the past. And so travel's in your blood. And this time you're going to study our great Gaia Sophia in a deeper way and help her, our great goddess, our mother. And, this is an important role. This takes you further than dealing with whatever issues you were amongst the humans. Now you serve our great mother. So it's honorable.
Yeah, because when I was in South Dakota this summer, I had an experience when I was on the Indian reservation where I felt like a great sadness. But the point is I'm positive that I think whatever I felt is in the earth. I think it's in the earth somehow. There's a storage system, and I can't find any evidence of that, but anything on that?
Yeah, look at water. You need to study water.
Water?
Water contains memory. Uh-huh. Water contains memory. Anyone who does body work will tell you that. Water contains memory. Dr. Hashimoto's studies of water show how it moves and how it changes with different feelings and emotions. Look at the elements not as a just an object. You know, a rock isn't just an object that is deadened and has no consciousness. Look at it as part of the consciousness of the earth. Realize that what you're feeling is the consciousness of the planet. And when you're in that reservation, those people, indigenous people of the earth, do not own the land. They belong to the land. So you come into that reservation where the people belong to the land. The land doesn't belong to them, and they're at one with her. So you're having a big spiritual awakening. And all the academics in the world will never really give you that. You need to have your own experience, and you're obviously starting to have that. When you tap in and you tune in and you turn on, as Abraham Hicks says, you will begin to understand more deeply why you've chosen the path you have. So you're here to help increase the scientific knowledge. You'll find a way to slot it in so academic people understand it, because they poo-poo a lot of this stuff, and that's fine. That's where they're at. But you're starting to get it. You'll be able to measure it. I'm sure you'll find a way. There'll be an instrument. There'll be an answer there. But listen to that, because your body is of the earth. When you die, it has to go back. You can't take it with. All the minerals that are in the earth are in your body. So let your body be part of her as you are part of her. And listen, the body is geological as well. You could put it that way. You're a walking, talking instrument yourself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that all, and yes, and everything that you said feels right.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
More power to you, mate. You're going places. You're going places.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, well, some of us are, but some of us choose to sit on the couch and eat a lot of potato chips and chips and stare at the TV. And all we're
going into is
a box at the end. yeah. When you want to zone out because you've been busy studying and exploring the world, it's a bit different. We're not all going, you know. We have to be in control of our lower selves, our egoic personality, in order to listen to the higher self, the true self that you are doing. You should be proud of yourself.
I do my best. Kat,
and good luck.
Thank you so much. This was really beneficial. I really appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank
you for calling in tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Okay. God bless you.
You too.
Thank you. Well, that was an interesting reading. I really enjoyed that a lot. How do you suggest that people, you used Abraham Hicks as a point of reference when you talked about tune in, tap in, tune in, turn on.
Turn on.
Yeah, I love that. How do you suggest people go about doing that if they don't have a clue?
Abraham Hicks isn't only one of the spiritual teachers that I learned from. That just jumped into my head.
Right.
Seemed perfect for what Michael was doing. How do you go about it? Well, get out of your house. Summertime in the U.S. Get out of your house, or in spring, autumn, fall. Gosh, getting all my seasons mixed up. Get out of your house. Go sit in the veranda or the patio, or go for a walk, and just get out of the environment that you're in and be in nature, be somewhere that you can look at plants. And just there. The best thing to be in the beginning of learning how to tune in is just to zone out. Get out of your own way. Zone out. Stare at the plants and start to feel an affinity with them. Let yourself love the plant. Let yourself enjoy the colors. Let yourself see the sunlight dance off the leaves. Start to feel a connection with that plant and start to feel like you can understand that it's a growing thing, that it's something that is alive, and then begin to feel more and more connected to the fact that it's living and that so are you. And as you become more and more connected to that, you become more connected to life, because that is what the universe is. It's life. It's that life and that which supports life. And life constantly recycles itself. So you begin to become more and more and more connected with life just by staring at a plant. And then you can let your senses tune into the sounds of life around you. Some of them are human-made. Some of them are not. Some of them are from birds. You want to hope there's birds around you. Otherwise, there's a big tsunami coming or something like that. So you want to listen to the birds. Listen to the music in the sky. That's what the birds are. They are music. We're surrounded by music. Hear the breeze. The only way to hear the breeze is to hear the trees, because the trees amplify the music of the breeze and the warmth of the sun. And as you begin, you start to recognize that you are connecting with the five elements, because the fifth, of course, is within you. And you close your eyes at that point and you look into your heart. And all you have to do there is just to have your mind's eye in where your heart beats. If you never looked within your heart before, that's the place to go. The fifth element is the gateway to the universe. It's the ether. It's in the heart. It's the knowledge of self. And when you begin to bring all of those elements together and you center in your heart, you've forgotten about what you're doing on the weekend. You've forgotten about how a family member annoyed you. You've forgotten about how many bills you have to pay. You've forgotten about the stress at work. You've forgotten about the neighbor who gets up at 6 a.m. and then starts mowing out their lawn at the crack of 7 a.m. You've forgotten all of these things that are in the Maya, which is in the great illusion that is caused by the terrestrial life on Earth, and you begin to focus only on the higher realms of the planet and of the universe. The more you can do that, the more you can tap into it, the more you can tune into it, the more you can turn on to it. And there you will hear your guidance. There you will hear the pathway forward. There you will see it. It will become easier and easier for you to see and feel and know. And the times when you are feeling like you can't see, hear, feel or know, somebody else will be inspired to tell you, or they'll give you a nudge. And it may be a stranger. It may be something that a stranger says. From the mouths of babes and the mouths of strangers, the Great Spirit will speak. It is not necessarily going to happen from someone you know. But that nudge there is also part of being tuned in and turned on, because you're awake and aware enough to be able to hear the message. you prepare for the opportunity, so when the opportunity comes, you can strike. And this is the best way to prepare for opportunity, when it comes in the form of guidance from your soul and from the Great Spirit. Does that make sense, David?
It makes absolute sense, and that was a beautiful meditation. Thank you. You were really on a roll, Kat. Speaking of rolling, let's roll again and see what number you come up with this time. If you'd pick a number between 1 and 10.
1 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
7.
Okay. Area code 256. You have been picked. What is your first name, please?
Yes, this is Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well, too. Thank you. Thank you for calling in tonight.
You're welcome.
Hi, Kimberly. How can I help you?
Yeah, I'm calling in reference to the purpose of, well, I guess I'm changing careers. I'm in the process of entering a clinical psychology program, because teaching is not for me anymore. It was never really my passion. But I guess there's a reason why I taught first. And I'm attempting to understand or navigate my path at this moment.
Okay. So I had a car start and I next door, and I really had to try and listen to you then. I couldn't quite hear you properly. So can I just go over what you said? You're moving from teaching to psychology at university.
Yeah.
What was the question around that? Can you just repeat that, please?
Yes.
And can you speak up, because I can't quite hear you.
Yes, hold on.
Much better.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me better now?
Go on. Yes.
Yeah, so my question around that was, what was really the purpose of me being, I guess, a teacher, because it was never really my passion for this many years, especially where I am right now. It's very challenging. But I know what my passion has always been, counseling and talking to people, helping them with their issues.
Okay. When you're a teacher, you learn to impart knowledge. No matter what the knowledge is that you're taught to teach, you're imparting knowledge. That is the whole point, is it not?
Correct.
And that is why you were there. You were learning how to do that in an effective way. Along the way, you've learned the kinds of personalities you can impart knowledge easily to, and the kinds of personalities you find more difficult to impart knowledge to. You've learned techniques to capture attention and to mold minds. You've learned techniques in discipline, in understanding how to get the ego, the infant self, the self that is more interested in what it can get for itself, to shut up, sit down and listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You will have learned old ways of teaching at some point. There will have been some sort of authoritarian style that may have been shown to you. You will have learned an egalitarian style. You would have learned many different styles of teaching and been able to apply styles as per individual case. All of these things are really, really important, because then when you go out and you become a psychologist, you're going to meet all sorts of people. And you need to, those people are asking you to teach them how to live, how to self-master, how to be. They don't know how to be. They may have had extraordinarily difficult lives, had highly traumatic experiences, and you will have to adapt to each person to teach them how to be. Your work as a teacher has been all for that, and more will be revealed to you as you go. You will come to your own deeper understanding as to why that was the case, that you went into that path. Why did you choose to become a teacher? Was it to please your parents or somebody else, or was it because you thought it was something you might try?
No, I was looking for a job, and a former professor said, well, you have a degree in biology. Why don't you teach? And he knew a principal, and the principal hired me. So that's what that was. No, it was, I just fell into it.
You fell into it. So it was part of your path to be in. You see, if the door is open and it's too easy to go, like, it's part of the path. I've found this time and again for myself. If I can't go a certain way, the doors are shut. I can't go that way. But if I knock on another door and it opens easily and I can walk on through, then, yeah, it's mine. I'm going there.
Okay.
You know, what else did that teaching job give you? Money? What happened with that money? Did you get a car, a house, stability? See, it set you up. Yeah, so it was more than, you know, it was more than the education in the pathway that you got. It was to set you up in your life so you could take on the real mission. Without that, you wouldn't have the stability you have now. You can turn around and go, you know what, I want to do psychology. And you may find that you'll continue to teach part-time or tutor. You know, it's good money. If you go into university, and obviously here it is in Australia, tutoring other students is really good money. You know, you could get on the payroll at uni and do that as well as do your own study and keep a good lifestyle. So, look, I can only see positives from it. It's not your passion, that's fine, but it's part of your apprenticeship. It's part of the path you're on. And look back with gratitude for what you've got so that when you go forward, you can feel confident that you're striding in the right way. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does.
Okay, well, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Kimberly.
Thank you, David.
You're welcome. That's interesting what Kimberly was saying when she said she fell into something, and you illuminated her to the fact that it's part of her path. That's an important thing for people to remember, isn't it? Because we don't just fall into things. We choose them at a soul level.
Yeah, and sometimes there's certain people you need to meet. And so a door will open so that you can meet that person. And they'll be a key player in your life. They may be a key agitator, but they may not. They may be a key teacher to you. I met so many people who say, I don't even know why I'm here. It just fell into place and now I'm here. And from that, all these other opportunities came. And you see that with a lot of really highly successful people, the way that their personality also had something to do with it. I didn't get to see the whole documentary, but Hedy Lamarr, I started watching a documentary on her, and I absolutely recommend learning about her because she was quite an interesting person. But she escaped her husband just at the beginning of World War II when she was in Germany, and they were known Jews, but he was an arms manufacturer. And she was living with a billionaire, but under house arrest, basically in prison. And she escaped and went to England, sewed her jewels into her jacket and went over to England. And then she met up with the head of one of the movie studios over there. She'd been an actress in Europe before that. And she turned him down, said, no, I'm not going to take the money that you're offering. And she walked away from him. And then she got on the same ship as him and put on a very, very elegant dress and made a fine, fine entrance into the dining room. And he dropped his jaw and gave her, I think it was £500 a week.
Mm.
And originally offered her 150 to get her on the books. And that was her personality and playing it so that it worked out for her. But the fact was, she met that guy. She was already vibing at that level, and it all fell into place for her. And then she went over to the USA and made history with her movies. But she also made some amazing, amazing technological inventions, including the technology that was foundation for Wi-Fi. And she's well worth learning about. But that, you see, it's how your personality plays into it as well. But doors open, walk through them, see where they're going to take you.
I loved what you were saying when you were talking about how when a door opens easily for you, that is an indication that you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. How do you find that?
Yeah, I found that to be the case too. I've literally steamrolled my way through some doors, only to find that I've met with some more resistance along the way. But it's kind of like that school of hard knocks. Sometimes you have to knock your head against the wall a few times and get it bloodied before you realize that you're moving in the wrong direction. And that has played out in my life. And yet so many of the other things that you talked about with Kimberly have panned out for me too. And I've recognized that there have been all kinds of people that have come into my life through one of the doorways that I couldn't understand why I'd passed through it. Wonderful, wonderful people came into my life. You know, a life partner, some wonderful friends that I cherish, people that have helped me deal with some of the other seeming obstacles in my life. And so, you know, that helps erase the questions about whether or not I'd chosen the right path. It was there for me to choose, and I made the right choice, even though it didn't seem like it. At a previous point in my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's wonderful that you could see the bigger picture, even though at the beginning you were sort of in a, well, why is this going on? When you see the bigger picture, it makes things more wondrous, don't you think?
I do. And I think that why is a question that is best left without being asked. I'm stumbling here for the right words tonight. I find that why is it's an interesting question, but it quite often can leave one spinning in circles. What seems to be a more constructive question? What is my purpose instead of why am I doing this? Does that make any sense?
Yes, it does. And because often if you know you're going to do something, the how you're going to do it will unfold. What am I going to do? I'm going to do this. How am I going to do it? Well, I'm going to take this step, and it's a process. And it begins, things begin to unfold why are you doing it? Well, in the beginning, you've got a reason. Otherwise, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't be doing anything. But the bigger picture, why might not be revealed to you for several years? And then one day, you may turn around, the penny drops, and you go, oh, that's why. Now I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the door opens to something that you don't really want to walk through, but you know you have to.
That's right.
And you know, and you're in a position that you don't want to be in. You never thought you'd ever be in. And you have to make the best of it. And you go through that and you're thinking, well, you know, you can get really down on yourself. Why am I here? What is this all about? How the hell do I get out of this situation? And the answer is to keep pushing up. To keep punching through the illusion, pushing up. Don't fall down. If you do, don't keep looking down. Look up. Get back up on your feet. Look up. Keep punching through the illusion. Eventually, you'll start to see a little crack of light as the illusion cracks open, and then you'll find the answer, the way out. And the bigger picture will begin to reveal itself to you. And it's difficult when you're walking through a door that you don't want to go through. But there are many signs during the journey that there will be doors that you go through that just open beautifully for you. They're the ones to really admire.
I think it's important to remember that we always have a choice. And we can always turn around and go back and walk through another door, too. That's an option for us as well, isn't it?
It is, but I think that might be a poor choice for you.
Certainly can be.
It depends.
Yeah.
It depends on what is most important to you, what's going to feed your value system, and your moral code. You know, I mean, coming to the place that I'm living now, I didn't want to come and live where I'm living. I wanted to continue. We're living with in-laws to save to buy a house. I didn't want to come and live with in-laws. I wanted to live in my own place. But if I chose to walk away and do that, I would have had to walk away from my children and my partner because they were coming here.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a choice.
Yes.
What do I do? I mean, I could have gone, the independent person in me wants to have an independent life, but at the expense of what? So we stay here, we save.
Right.
It's expensive to buy a house in Australia. Very expensive. Very, very expensive. It's one of the most expensive Western nations around. So, yeah, we just have to see that through. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it boils down to an individual's circumstances, David, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. I think that the important thing that I was speaking to was that to empower ourselves with the knowledge that we always do have a choice in any situation, and that walking through that door where things seem to be stacked up against you is an opportunity to learn some mighty valuable lessons.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. Let's pick a number between 1 and 13 this time.
Six.
Okay. I think I know who this is. Area code 914. Who am I speaking with, please?
Hi, yes, it's Catherine. How are you this evening?
Hi, Catherine. Great. How are you? Hi.
Good, good. Thank you. I'm so blessed that I got through. I got chosen. Thank you.
You are. Say hi to Kat.
Hi, Kat. How are you?
Hi, Catherine. How can I help you?
I have a work issue. There's these two women who are promising me a job, and I'm not sure what to make of it. If they're being completely honest with me, they're saying that they want the assignment to start soon, but I don't know. There's just something telling me, I don't know, something's off.
Yeah, I didn't have a good feeling as soon as you said there's two women offering me a job. I got a bad feeling about it too.
Really?
You're continuing to look for work?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mhm.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really hear you.
Oh. I'm sorry, is that better? Yes,
if you can speak directly into your microphone, that'd be good. Thank you.
Sorry, yes. I do have another man that I'm doing an assignment with, but these two women are, like, pressing me. They want a big investment of my time, and that's fine if it was, legitimate, and they keep on telling me that it's legitimate. But I don't know. I'm just kind of confused, as you can tell.
Yeah. So if it's going to be legitimate, contracts need to be drawn up. Things need to be in writing, signatures, and you need to be having your butt covered, and an agreement needs to be made, and so you need a period of time that this will be agreed upon, and if they're wanting an investment of your time, then you need an investment of their money, and you need to be seeing that, and not just all words. So it's time to negotiate. Is the feeling I get. There is good news about financial matters around you. So I don't feel like money's going to dry up for you at all. And you just have to honour yourself and the current commitments that you have, but stand up for yourself and get some structure in what these people want from you. You know, if they want to hire you for a job, then, where's the contract? What are we agreeing to? What are the terms? This is how much I charge an hour. Are you going to be an employee or are you going to be a sole trader? Decide upon that.
Like a manager,
and,
you could say, of their project. Yeah.
A project manager. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what the employment conditions are like in the USA, but here in Australia, you get an Australian business number and you can trade under your own private name, and you can be a sole trader and be on a contract, or you can be an employee. So I don't know what you do in the US there, but surely there'd be something similar that happens over there. So you need to decide on how you're going to go about being employed by these people as a sole trader or as an employee. What are the terms, and make it happen. I'd be looking for a meeting, and I'd be calling a meeting, and I'd be saying, rightio, well, this is what I require from you, and let's get on with it. Otherwise, I'm moving forward because I've got somebody else who wants to hire me.
Be
clear. Stand in your power.
Yeah.
How much do you stand in your power?
I know. Yeah, no, I have to be better at that. I have been working on that. With them, I just feel as like, I know they want something from me, but I don't know. They have given me a contract, but it's just like it's always muddled talk, and one of them wants to move ahead faster than the other, and it's
just a lot of confusion. And, yeah, just like I said, just something's not sitting right with me about it.
Yeah. Well, see, yeah. You know, you've got you've got gut feeling going on there. You've actually got a scientifically proven fact, 100,000 neurons in your gut. They call it the second brain. You've got 40,000 neurons in your heart, and then the rest are in your brain. If your gut's telling you something's not right, I don't have a good feeling, listen to your gut. Listen to it. The body is an instrument. It's an analog radio and picking up on energy. Listen to your gut. Your gut's telling you something. And go with that. You know, if nothing's been signed, you have no obligation to them.
No.
And if there's something you're on.
I did sign. Yeah, no, I did sign. Within the space of a week, they told me it was going to start in the spring. Now they're saying it's going to start in November. So I don't know. Yeah, it's that kind of back and forth thing all the time.
So what you signed is the contract giving you a period of, say, you know, 25th of September to 30th of December or some sort of period of time?
No date. No, just that I'm attached to work with them. They're saying that there's this gentleman, his initials are JD, that's on board as well, and he's kind of pushing, you know, the gas pedal. Do you feel that's true? Because maybe that's where it's coming from, and that's why I can't get a straight answer from them.
Yeah, JD fellow is certainly part of the scheme of things. I think that you need to find out about your rights, and with that education behind you, finding out about your rights under these circumstances, stand with the power of knowledge and call a meeting and ask for things to be laid out on the table. There's too much covert, clandestine, he said, she said, going on here. It's too much paper shuffling and not enough action.
Yeah.
So it needs to be laid out on the table. But you need to stand in your power, and the best thing you can do, it's the weekend, look up your rights. So in your state, on the government website for your state business, website, there should be rights. Find out about all your rights that you can find out about, and have a printout of them. Put it in, you know, number 16 size. Give it a double spacing. Put it in Times New Roman font so it's too easy to read. Exactly the kind of rights that you need to be spelling out if necessary, and have it there so you can pull it out, say, according to the government guidelines, this, and this is my right, and I will exercise my right. Have that there in your back pocket. You don't have to do anything with it unless necessary, but know your right. Call a meeting and say, rightio, the soul is pussyfooting around. I've had enough. When are we doing something, or I'm walking away?
Yeah.
Stand in your power. That's the greatest thing I can give you right now, is that you need to stand in your power. You've got a bad feeling about it, and it's important that you are, and I feel like this exercise is about you standing in your power, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
get that,
yes, I understand that.
And then you'll know where to go from there.
Okay.
I do feel like you can buckle down and get it done. I do feel like You know, you can make some money, but there needs to be some structure and discipline, and you need to take leadership.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, good luck, Catherine.
Thank you. God bless you both. Thank you so much.
Bless you, Catherine. Best wishes to you. More power to
you,
I should say. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good night. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, that is, excuse me, that is perfect advice to give to any person. Maybe we could just spend a few minutes, we only have a few minutes left, talking about the idea of standing in your power and what you can do to bring that forward for yourself.
Yeah, well, knowledge is power. You know, that's one of the things that you need to be putting at the forefront of your mind first and foremost. If you don't have the knowledge, someone else will, and they'll use it against you. So, or for you, depending on who they are and what the circumstances is. So knowledge up, get your knowledge. And in this day and age, you don't have to go to a government department and ask for a printout. You can just sit at home and look it up on the net.
Right.
So get your knowledge together. And then from there, remind yourself who you are. I think part of the issue for a lot of people is that they've forgotten who they are, or they don't regularly remind themselves of who they are because they're told it's being egotistical to think that you're good. No, but knowing that you're good enough is really, really important because then you won't settle for second best. So reminding yourself who you are is really, really important. So you can sit down and list all your achievements. If you've got a scrapbook full of paper clippings about what you did when you were a kid or your high school records, you know, achievements, scholastic achievements, if you went to college, any certificates that you have, photographs throughout your years, things that you can remember about. Sit with somebody who's known you forever and pull out photos and talk about experiences. Have laughs. Remind yourself of who you are. If you've had any charts done up, you know, numerological charts or astrological charts, read them. This all empowers you. Get into a sport. Get your body healthy. Get it strong. With a strong body, you feel more powerful. These things help. They assist you in that moment when you do have to stand up for yourself because people will walk all over you. They don't. They're animals. The human is an animal on the planet. And not everybody, we might be sentient beings, but not everybody is operating out of a higher mind. A lot of human beings are operating out of a survival aspect. And because they're operating in survival mode, they're literally looking to continue their life and the life of their family. They're not necessarily caring about yours.
Right.
So you need to be aware that that's a fact. And from there, you can treat your brothers and sisters with love and respect, but you can know that you can be in your power and that you won't allow the survival mind to affect your higher mind, and you will be able to achieve and you'll be able to stand out above the crowd. So it's really important to breathe properly. And use the breath in your life as a life-sustaining, conscious, spiritual practice. And have fun. The other part of it is that you need to be having fun. Without that, you'll never really be fully empowered. because life is about enjoyment as much as anything else.
Mm.
So have good, clean fun. And that's a recipe for empowerment.
That's a great recipe. I'm going to make that for dessert. Well, I think that we have, I know that you've enchanted several people tonight in more ways than one, because we still have a number of callers that have hung in there right to the bitter end, even knowing they weren't going to get a reading. So I thank everybody for calling in tonight, for being patient with the exercise such as it was, and for investing your interest in Kat. And again, I'll remind you that she is available for private readings or coaching sessions through katedwardsclairvoyant.com. And Kat, I'll give you a moment if you would like to say anything about what it is that you do for people, how you can do it, whatever you want to say in a minute or so, go for it.
Okay. Well, I'm a life coach and spiritual professional, and spiritual professional is an umbrella term for clairvoyant medium, civil funeral celebrant, Justice of the Peace, Queensland, qualified. And so I'm basically a guidance-style reader. I help you to understand what's going on in your life and to navigate your life direction. I can see the potential in you when you can't, and I'm here to assist you to unfold what is going on for you so that you can then make the best steps forward for your life. I have numerology cards, tea leaf reading. You know, I've learnt the divine arts, but I don't see them as my focus. They're simply a tool to assist me in helping you. What I'm more interested in is guiding you in your life and helping you to achieve. You can contact me and make an appointment. The North American time is my morning. So when you've come home from work and you've had your dinner, I've gotten up and I'm ready for work for the day. So we can connect in your evening and my morning quite easily. I look forward to seeing you on Facebook. You can connect with me at Kat Edwards Life Coach and Spiritual Professionals, my page, or friend me at Kat Edwards. And I'm also on Instagram at katedwards.33.6. So love to hear from you.
Perfect. And we would love to have you join us Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Time for the Healing Circle. And Kat, thank you so much for being with me tonight. I really have enjoyed the experience.
Thanks for having me. And thank you, Michael, Kimberly, and Catherine. It was an honor to read for you.
So once again, we come to a close. Let's take a moment and reflect upon the idea that we're all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our being. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, everybody.